I'd like to think we got a little nudge from our extraterrestrial friends. Just a little, but who knows? We'll be back in a moment with Jared Murphy, your phone calls. It's not aliens, worse. It's us. And welcome back to Coast, Jared Murphy with us. It's not aliens, worse. It's us. Jared, you don't have a website, but I have a YouTube channel for you, correct?
Yes, it was just started. I'll be uploading content from my expedition in South Africa here over the next days and weeks.
Tell me about the South African trip. What are you going to look for?
I went to an area that, you know, is very famous for the stone circles. Did field research, went to different properties, farms. Essentially, there is a large remnant civilization that has been identified with the stone circles. However, underground, which is visible either from Google Earth or from droning, and the area, I'll give you the name of the town. It's Waterval Boven. It's Waterval Boven, and they're also very famous for world-class climbing, but I was there for both. I climb, but more importantly, I was there to look at a significant, as we know, our traditional academia says, the Fertile Crescent is where we all came from, and, you know, there's a few thousand people down in southern Africa, and it just wasn't really a big society, and I spent 1 month, all of January there, and in the field, looking at ruins after ruins after ruins with drone aerial views over kilometer after kilometer of nothing but unexplored foundational structures, channels, buildings that have never been dug up. There's been some exploratory work done there in the 30s and 50s. I believe there is an archaeologist, I can't remember his name, but he is from Pretoria, and he is releasing a book soon on his findings, and he is willing to go on record apparently to say that there was at least 100,000 people in this area, and then there should not have been that many there. But my question when I go out and look at research is, am I finding a society that was I don't want to say per se squatter culture, but like the dynastic Egyptians, a society that very much looks like they did not have the technology to build what is on site, but inherited it from an earlier culture. And
which is probably the case.
Yeah, it's significant. It's on at that area of South Africa. It's east of Johannesburg, about 2 hours, and it's about about 4,500 to 5,000 feet in the air, and a significant mountainous territory with just, it's spectacular. Truly, you could hop on a plane, go to Johannesburg, get off, end up in this area, and you could kick a stone, and you'll be standing on a foundational ruin. And the question is, is the soil engineered? Is there are larger megalithic blocks that show signs of shaping and almost smelting together. I think I posted one of those photos on your website.
Yeah. Now, with the engineered soil, without it being engineered, would things still grow? Just not as big?
Yeah, just what we have, like weed trees. The whole, Hyperion. We have a redwood that's 379 feet tall, approximately 60 feet wide, and we have the great sequoias, but it used to be the whole planet. And if you have just regular good old soil, you know, through a combination of composting, just like anybody in their backyard garden, you're going to be able to grow something. Plants are very resilient. They can grow with just a few nutrients. And whether they have every nutrient you need or not, you know, they'll still survive and they'll still be edible. It just might not have every nutrient you would like in that plant.
Let's take some calls here for you. Let's go to Joe in Long Island, New York, to get us started. Joseph, go ahead.
Fascinating topic. Say, for example, I have a car, I park it at the beach, I come back, it's not there, but somehow I know it's not stolen. Could that be the Mandela effect where I said, did I even have a car? Or could it be a dimensional issue? And also, I'd like you to just say more about your mountain climbing, because I've watched that on some films. That looks a little bit like kind of scary.
That car question's kind of scary, Joe.
Yeah, your car disappears off a beach. That would be.
It got sucked in by the sand, right?
Oh, gosh. I mean, yeah, Florida could, or a few other sinkholes.
But you want to talk about your mountain climbing episodes?
Yeah, it's a lot safer than you think. I mean, there are many people out there that alpine and do a lot of trad climbing where they're, you know, they're finding a route. I think everyone's pretty familiar now with, like, Free Solo and Alex Honnold climbing no ropes at all. But I'm a very safe climber. I climb with ropes, and I've never been to that area, so I hired a guide. And there are, you could spend your, there is so much climbing in this particular area, you could spend a lifetime there. It's truly spectacular.
It is dramatic, isn't it?
Oh, it's very fun because it's a very inclusive activity. It doesn't matter your age or your ability. There's always a voice inside your head that says, you know what, you're not going to be able to make the next move. And everyone has that voice. It doesn't matter how good you get. And everyone supports you. You know, when you get up a wall and you have that person's life in their hands, you know, belaying them, making sure they're safe. And everything kind of goes away. You don't worry about too much. You worry about that person on the rope, or if you're on the wall, you don't have time to think about where your car just evaporated to.
Let's go to Mimi in Midland, Texas. Welcome to the program. Hi, Mimi. Go ahead.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
I have a Mimi theory, and I'm so excited about your guest because he is the first person I've ever heard voice some of what I thought. In my earlier studies, I ran across a set of churches, or James Church Words works about the lost continent of Mu.
Okay.
And I studied a number of things, and I finally decided something was just radically wrong, that maybe, you know, there had been superior civilizations and something happened that shouldn't have. And I kind of gave up on it, but I decided part of it's under the ground, part of it's under the ocean, part of it's been destroyed, and part of it's in the Vatican Library. And I have an idea about aliens, and it's just my personal belief.
And what is that? Go ahead, tell us.
Well, I do think they're us. I think they're the remnant, and I think they are trying, without creating a negative butterfly effect, they are trying to warn us, and their experiments with us genetically is because their bodies are what's left of them.
What do you think, Jared?
It's a possibility, yes, absolutely. They there was some work done by some Harvard researchers, Siri Kusuri and George Church and colleagues. They encoded a 52,000-word book on DNA. And currently, our technology shows that we can store 215 gigabytes in a gram of cellular, of DNA tissue. And is it possible that you're looking at a society, again, it's the missing lands combined with the technology that we're finding everywhere, and we have to say, well, this piece might be related to a piece that's on a completely different continent that's sunk or is shaped very differently now. And it's very hard for us to not get excited and piece it into an existing theory or to filtrate it to work that way, when I think a lot more support should be given to archaeology, period, across the board, to be able to have not an answer, but to not have a piece together find of just some, you know, a few bones, but no DNA. More money could go into this and to prove these points out, because we all have these hunches, and citizen scientists, we need everyone's eyes on this, because we may have genetic DNA memory. A lot of times people say, well, I've had this experience and I think I was this famous person, or better, they say, I was John the Farmer, and they go out in a field, and research is done, and no joke, there's a farm in a place where they've never been. And what is that? Is that a ancient, high-technology human race creating genetic memory, which we are finding can be stored for hundreds of thousands of years? This is current research in the last 7 years. Is it possible that not only are they either experimenting with us, are they attempting to communicate, are they benevolent? That's the part where it's, is it worse? Is it that some of them care and some of them don't?
That's almost like society, isn't it?
And maybe it's an equation that didn't work 10,000 or 50,000 or 100,000 years ago, and
it's not working now.
Maybe that's why they let us run in safe mode. Oh, I'm so sorry, George. What was that question?
I don't think it's working now in terms of societies being good or, you know.
Well, if you have a power elite if we're all running, if evolution, as it's been described to us, gives us something based on a forced adaptation, here we are with, it's common knowledge, we're at 10 or 14% of our brain use. Well, at what point were we using 100%? So are we really in safe mode?
Next up, let's go to Barry in Rock Hill, South Carolina. Hello there, Barry.
What do you say there, George? Always a pleasure, as you know. And, Jared, I'm tickled to death with this comments and the stuff that you're talking about. Real quick, hello to all my buddies out there in Coast to Coast land. You know who you are. But a question for Jared, George, is, my background in biology and chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious about what makes the super soil or energetic dirt he's talking about. What are the chemicals and the nutrients in there that make it special? And I'll take my call off the answer off the air, and I love it, George. Keep it up the good work.
Did we have a chemical breakdown, Jared?
It varies throughout the earth. They're using spectroscopy, radiocarbon. They're doing it's really high resolution. I mean, it's a combination of the transmission electron microscopy. They're doing electron energy loss spectroscopy. There is a list of techniques that are being used, and that's what's so crazy and impressive about this. Without getting too down the technical side at the moment, the reality of this soil is many mechanics of it are different depending on the area. And for instance, when you're going down the Amazon in this area where Colonel Percy Fawcett was last seen looking for Lost City of Z before he disappeared,
where'd he go?
I believe, besides Brad Pitt playing him a few years ago in that movie, The Lost City of Z, I believe there's been two theories. One is there was a tribe that came up with some bones. I'm not familiar enough with the background DNA testing that they say that maybe it was his bones, or whether or not he was just lost forever. But the terra preta, the soil, was over 12 feet thick in that area. And this is not a small area. It's an area larger than the size. It's currently estimated over the size of Spain. You have to do core samples to know for sure. And the size of it and the locations have not all been excavated. And if you have 12 or 15 feet thick of this soil, do you have a societal layer that starts with a more highly advanced technology? It continues. And then is the area abandoned and then reoccupied by a society that could mimic or attempt a similar structure? So you have, just like when you do a core sample, when you're going to do a new building, do you do just, you're looking for environmentals or where are we going to get to when we get to bedrock? So take a core sample that's 15 or 20 or 30 meters thick. Is it possible to look at the different layers? How much sand, how much soil, how much rock, what kind of rock? What are you looking at in that layer? And there is a significant amount. It will not take you long to look up terra preta or Chernozems and find an endless array of reports, scientific papers, and all of them will have some caveat to, wow, it's really impressive that it can filter heavy metals. Oh, wow, it's really crazy. Further study is required. Further study is needed. In fact, two of the scientists that I was looking at, Michael Schmidt and Cornelia Jaeger, and this is from the Global Biochemical Biogeochemical Cycles, Volume 16, Issue 4. One of the things that they quote and they talk about, but only time will tell if there are any researchers brave enough to test other black soils for submicron remnants of burned biomass. Because if you have submicron layers of burned biomass, which can be any kind of plant and any kind of combination of a tree, of some other living thing, mixed with a significant, once you've added the element of fire, not because there was lightning, not because it just burned randomly, but when you have a structured soil, and that's the consensus, hands down, that's not the question. The question is, what are the nuances of everything in this? And it's unknown. It's crazy.
It sure is. Next up, Moses in Tallahassee, Florida. Welcome to the program, Moses. Go ahead.
I come in peace, my brother George and Jared.
Thank you.
How are you guys doing this morning?
Good, Moses. Thank you.
Okay, my premise still is that since we know that the Homo sapiens was found in the mouth of the Nile River, starting from Lake Victoria, that region, so how can Mesopotamia be, the birthplace of civilization? Okay, from my understanding, we know that the Mars-Sidonia region had pyramids, a gigantic space, and other building complexes. My estimation is that those beings, whether it be the Anunnaki, or the Nibiru, or the Elohim, or what have you, the gods came and brought technology to ancient Kemet. Again, in the Temple of Seti I, they found images of flying vehicles, helicopters, UFOs, and hovercraft, also submarines. So can you give me your take on that, and I'll take my ass off the air. Thank you.
Okay, very good. Go ahead, Jared.
Yeah, I think this is a paradigm. Part of it, I think I need to speak to, is a paradigm of how many people, when you grow up with these post-flood stories, you have to look at the Anunnaki, you have to look at the Bible, you have to look at but the origins of each of these documents or these collections of research. And what one of the earlier callers said about the Vatican Library, when the information is about our collective past, which also includes our collective future, something you mentioned, what should we do with all this information? The question is, all of this information is ours. And it's for us to discern our past, not only just because we want to know where we're all from, but the future. When you have wave cloaking technology and stone spheres all over the earth and research papers showing the reality that you can use a stone ball resonator to cloak an entire infrastructure with engineered soil and engineered genes, the jump for us to go to, it's the Anunnaki, it's an alien. It's something from somewhere other than our own human ingenuity is the actual far jump than it is for us to look at the collective evidence around the world. And like Max Uhle, the father of South American archaeology, notes in one of his lectures, which I talk about in my book, and it's about how there is a significant theory about the human race coming from Argentina. I don't go down that rabbit hole, but it's one that you can look at. But I think it's a great point that he makes about that there's like a cadence almost to the belief system. It's, well, we likely came from Africa. Well, again, it's a theory, and it's a good one, but it's also based on a number of presumptions. And it also goes, you have to ignore everything Michael Kremer has ever spoken about. You have to, and again, it's the actual research.
Indeed, indeed. Jared, we're going to come back and take final calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. Our final segment with Jared Murphy. His book is called It's Not Aliens, Worse, It's Us, Discovering Our Lost History. A couple people want to know, Jared, if it's available in Kindle form. Is it?
Not yet. It's on Amazon, and I'm actually working on the audiobook over the next couple of weeks. We should have that available in about 3.
By the way, that is intense. If you've never done an audio recording for a book before,
no,
you will be exhausted when it's done.
I have heard a little bit, but you're giving me the expected prognosis.
Yes, and the truth,
which is great.
Let's go to the phones. Alex in Lubbock, Texas. First-time caller. Alex, go ahead.
Hi, George. Thank you very much for taking my call. Great show and outstanding guest.
Thank you.
I subscribe to Michael Cremo's theory about long-lost civilizations that have existed over the eons. With that said, you look at the root races like the Hyperboreans, the Lemurians, or the Atlanteans. Does the guest think that these cultures have developed breakaway type 1 civilizations? And if so, would they have left any telltale signs or markers?
Yeah, great question. The Paracas people, I think, are the first that you can point to immediately. Bone structure, DNA structure. We're finally doing the testing, and it needs to continue, but these people are different. But are they a segment of an ancient, highly advanced technology human race that went off and did their own thing? And then you have the other elongated skulls, not the ones that we're mimicking by using boards, but the ones that were born that way. What is their genetic background? Are they from the Crimea also? Are there these, again, we get quoting on like the Lumerians and the reptilians, and we look at these different races and we say, okay, well, you know, if you look at Michael's work, again, that forbidden archaeology, you look at the background. If the first thing you step back and go, okay, well, wait, humans have been here for millions of years. It took us 150 years to go from horse and buggy to the moon. And in 50 years, here we are with iPads, and we think this is as best we've got. Yet, as another example, you have 40,000 vases and jugs that we frequently point out about found in the Step Pyramid in Saqqara, in that area where you have machined vases so thin out of some of the most fragile stones on Earth with a technology in ancient, allegedly dynastic times, that you can actually see through the stone. It's translucent. So the level of genetic technology that an ancient high-tech human society would have, if you step back and look at the evidence of these different races that we're seeing and saying, well, this is a foreign race. Well, what if, like the Paracas, and what if, like some of the either elongated skulls or the other groups on Earth, like if you suggest, say, the Anunnaki, these could have been groups that were fighting or divided after some final catastrophe that they just could not recover from as an entire group. So they split. Some might be benevolent. Some might try to help. We seem to have these either violent interactions with what we're identifying as alien or paranormal, or we're having friendly, helpful ones. It appears we're not getting a coherent group. This civilization, like you said, George, we're not getting along with each other now. It doesn't look like we were getting along with each other then. And the only way for us to get to the truth is to be willing to commit to archaeological finds and digs, and also look at it as more of a search and rescue than a search and recovery of our past, because it's about our future.
And to accept what we find and discover.
Absolutely.
That's so
you
important.
Can't just want it to be one thing. I cannot even begin to say, okay, it's not about being right. It's that DNA memory. It's that, you know, we've proven we've passed down. We have instincts. We have hunches. We have proof that mothers and fathers passed down information from their experiences. We have to accept the fact that if without everyone's eyes on what we're seeing, not hidden away in academia for 5 years or 10 years, I think that hardworking archaeologists should be paid irrelevant to what they find, and the books on what we see, what's dug up, it needs to be in front of someone that you might have, you just have a hunch, you just have a memory, you just have a thought about dig a little to the left or look a little to the right, or gosh, that just doesn't feel right, have you tried this or that? There has to be an open dialogue that includes realistically citizen scientists and a full disclosure. I think whether it's digitized or made available, I don't want this to be a referendum on the Vatican, but the Vatican Library needs to be accessible, along with any other ancient, older libraries or academic. This is the world's history, and it is kept. You know, we can't walk into your local significant museum and ask to see the millions of objects they have in storage if you do not have a certain set of credentials.
Let's go to Debbie in Oregon, okay? Debbie, take it away.
Hello. Thank you, gentlemen. for taking my call.
Sure.
This has always been a very fascinating subject to me. I have some food for thought, which puts all these subjects into a nutshell for me and kind of explains it. If I may be permitted to read off the first page of Ecclesiastes in the Bible.
No, we don't read it. Just give me a paraphrase.
Okay, can I just say what it says then?
Just give me a short paraphrase.
It says that everything that has been done has already been done before, and there's nothing new under the sun, that we just don't remember these things, and people that are yet to come won't remember either, and everything will always be a brand new discovery. I think he's right that this is us, and I will take response off the air. Thank you very much.
Okay, that was good. Good summation of that.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Jared.
Yeah, I think this is part of that amnesia part about us, about post-flood religions, belief systems, especially with I grew up Irish Catholic. The reality is that the Christian belief system, you know, you have a Bible, and what's not taught is the sources for it. You can go to seminary for that, and the truth of the statement of we are very old, that is true. We've been around a very long time. Our memories run very deep and are obviously based on the ruins that we're finding all over the earth. We've been here for millions of years. And so it's not an untrue statement on itself at all.
We've got Carl in the Bronx is with us. Hey, Carl, go ahead, sir.
Yes, George, thank you. And Jared, for taking my call. You're mentioning Michael Kremer, whom I'm very fond of, and there's another author, Michael Tellinger.
Oh, yeah, good man.
Yes, he wrote a book. One of his books is African Temples of the Anunnaki, The Lost Technologies of the Gold Mines of Inki, and also the fact that Jared has been to South Africa looking at all the structures there. Also, on page 216 of his book, he mentions giant tools and other anomalies, and he has skulls on the next page of his book of giants. And also, I agree with him 100% that the Vatican Museum should be, their library should be open to the public. And I believe that the giants, as I said before on another show of yours, George, that the giant skeletons should be in museums, including all the skeletons that have been censored. They should be in museums, and that a disclosure should come forward even before the alien presence on the planet. So I want to know what's Jared's take on Michael Tellinger's book and all of his discoveries in South Africa.
Okay, I'm sure you're familiar with Tellinger's work, Jared, aren't you?
Yes, I am, actually. He is a personal friend of mine, and he is who invited me to South Africa.
Oh, so perfect.
I stayed with him for a couple weeks at Stone Circle Ranch, and brilliant work. I mean, he's been raising the alarm on the society that people are not talking about in that area for, gosh, over 12 years, and his work is brilliant. So I was able to travel with him to some of the sites. I've been to Adam's Calendar, and Michael was able to personally show me around.
And what do you think about his theories?
Oh, yeah, I think we have to do, no matter whose it is, from Forbidden Archaeology to Brian Forrester and Michael Tellinger and Graham Hancock, Eric Von Daniken. I mean, we can go David Childress. We can go through the list of all these brilliant men that are just brave out there pointing out. We're all getting slivers of it, and we're all piecing together history is not as it's been explained. And these you can as I said, when we went to when I went to South Africa to see what he had to show me, and then for me to go out on my own and you know, you're looking at your own theories and you're out there testing it by being in the field. You have to be able to talk to people publicly and say, hey, look, our history is not what we're getting from our current educational system, nor is the filtration healthy for us because we just don't know the truth of it. And Michael's work, I think, is important first and foremost because he's the first guy to really, like, shout it out there. There is a whole massive society that we are not talking about. It's like stumbling on the you might as well be on the Giza Plateau and no one's ever dug it up. That's what Waterval, it's in South Africa, in Afrikaan, that area, they call it Waterval Boven, but Waterval Boven, that is the epicenter of thousands of square kilometers of unexplored ruins. And there are, like I said, I believe there's an archaeologist from Pretoria that is going to South Africa that will be coming out with a book here shortly. And I was out on the farms looking at the ruins, and it's incredible. One thing to read it. I was a huge fan of Michael before we ever became friends, and being able to go out and actually look at what he's writing about, it's incredible. It's worth a trip to get a tour, to just even visit, even if you just have a general interest. South Africa is one of the most beautiful places I've ever been in my entire life, and it's the best weather, other than California.
Yeah, it's not bad. Not bad at all. Let's go next to Jeff in Seattle, Washington. Hey, Jeffrey, go ahead.
Hello, Jared. Hello, George. It's Jeff calling from Seattle. Hey, a comment and a question. Jared, number one, if you get a chance, check out the Drakensberg Range there in South Africa. Great rock climbing. Have you been there yet?
No. I was there with Gustav and Von Jans, and it's just beautiful where I was, but I was splitting my time between research and climbing.
Yes, yes, I'm an old climber myself. Hey, long story short, I just want to touch base with you. Have you checked out any of Sir Francis Young husband's research into the kingdom of Mu in South and Central America? Quite possibly where that Gossett guy, you know, or Fawcett guy disappeared.
Steve Fawcett.
Fawcett, yes, yes. Are you hip to that at all? Have you done any work on that, the kingdom of Mu?
But they did find him, though.
Pardon me?
They did find Steve's body.
Oh, they did?
Oh, yeah, in the Sierra Mountains up there Nevada.
That's a growth point for me. Okay, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead, Jared.
Oh, yeah, no, fascinating. There's those giant clam shell mounds that were found all over South America. There's you have the volcano in Mexico that buried a pyramid structure that has to be at least 15,000 years old that no one ever talks about. 8,000, the lava flow alone is 9,000 years old, and there was 37 feet of dirt before it's ridiculous. Waylaco, that Michael Cremo, got to go back to it. You know, Virginia Steam McIntyre's 275 to 350,000 year old anatomically correct human, maybe a small village site. There's so much prehistory in South America and Central America, including the LIDAR scans for Guatemala, that we're just beginning to scratch the surface of saying, okay, well, how much of this was advanced ancient high technology people, and how much of it was a mimic or was it a post society that came or was lived alongside a more advanced society, and where are those blurred lines? Did an ancient society, no one says that they can't move during the period of their highest maybe occupation, and they could have abandoned a city and it could have been taken over by another group. But without doing the on-the-ground research, I mean, they're Guatemala, they've done near Tikal, they've done 800 square miles of a 5,000 square mile study, and National Geographic picks up that there's 60,000 structures, including many, we didn't see it, and it's not like they're tiny buildings. They have super highways. We're talking about a society now that archaeologists in Guatemala are saying we've grossly underestimated the South American populations. We can, and this is published in National Geographic, we can safely assume there was 15 to 20 million people. And that's what they're saying just out of 800 square miles of research. So I haven't looked at Sir Francis's work, but the idea that there are a tremendous amount of the level of occupation. They're now, archaeologists are now willing to come out and say that there's a good chance that major population centers started in South America. They didn't go there. They even said that South America is not where archaeologists believe that. Currently, it was pretty common to believe that South America is where populations go to die. They don't start there. And looking at what they're finding in the last couple of years is so ridiculously exciting because it's right there in the LIDAR scans.
Well, keep looking for what you're looking for, my friend. In the name of the book, It's Not Aliens Worse, It's Us, Amazon.com. Up next, a little bit of the occult.